So, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as I began this service by reminding you, today we are celebrating our LWML, our Women in Mission. The Lutheran Women's Missionary League has chosen the theme, Our Rest in a Changing World. And for some reason, when I thought of this, my mind went to that old phrase, there ain't no rest for the wicked. It's probably because there's a really great song by one of my favorite bands, but it's just one of those old classic phrases that you've heard in many places and movies and TV, whatever it might be. It's a really great phrase that's been used as a motivation for a character to get to work or get to action, whatever it might be. But this phrase actually comes from Isaiah 48:22. Isaiah says, the wicked will find no rest. But let's open that up a little bit. Now, the word for rest used here is one of those Hebrew words that you might actually be familiar with. The word for rest is shalom. And you might think of shalom as the greeting, right? You might, if your mind works like mine, you might picture two Hasidic Jews with their big beards, their curly sideburns, their big hats and everything, greeting one another and saying shalom to one another. But shalom is a packed word. In fact, many words in Hebrew, if not the entire language, is just packed full. You see, normally in English, we just have kind of one-to-one meanings, but in Hebrew, their words paint a picture for you. And so the picture that Shalom paints is this picture of completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, and rest. And as we're all sitting here and letting that picture be painted in our own minds, we each probably have a different image. It might be that image of sitting by a campfire on a wonderful summer evening with a nice beer in one hand and your family all around you. It might be snuggled up in a cozy nook in your house, bundled up on a cold winter day. Your house is nice and warm, you're nice and toasty, and you're reading a good book with a good cup of coffee or a good cup of cocoa. Or it could simply be that feeling of safety and security inside of your home and a well-locked house. Could be a number of things. But let's look at the opposite. Because Isaiah 48 does not paint a picture of shalom. It tells us there is no shalom for the wicked. There is no peace. There is no welfare. There is no rest. It paints a picture of trying to light a campfire in the middle of a dark forest as it begins to rain. It paints a picture of somebody chattering their teeth and trying to get warm as they sit in their house when there's no heat. It paints the picture of a house that's unlocked and open with thieves surrounding it seeking to break in. There is no good feeling. There is no completeness, welfare. There's no rest. Wouldn't you hate to be one of the wicked? Especially as Isaiah paints this picture, there's no peace, there's no comfort, there's only fear and anxiety. The sad reality is that at one time we were the wicked. We were those who not only had no shalom, but we never deserved shalom to begin with. Paul says it well in Ephesians 2, even though our reading is from Ephesians 6 today. You turn earlier in the book to Ephesians 2, and Paul says that at one time you were dead because of your disobedience in your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, following the devil, obeying the desires of your heart, wherever it led you. But this is a wonderful passage because Paul takes a drastic turn. Tells us that, but God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And then there is a phrase that we all have tattooed on our hearts, by grace you have been saved. Through God, through this grace, through this Lord Jesus, our insecurity, our incompleteness, our lack of peace, our lack of rest is turned to complete and perfect shalom. And it's all done through our Lord Jesus. And he says it wonderfully to us in our gospel lesson today. He tells us to come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We all labor. We are all struggling and seeking to earn our way back to that shalom, that peace, that wholeness that we all want. We try and fight our way there, but it is just too much work. And not only that, there's also this burden that we carry on ourselves, the weight and shame of our sin, of our guilt. And all of these things are just pushing us down. Even the strongest of us are crushed under this weight. But here, Jesus tells us to come to him. He removes that weight. He removes that guilt, that shame. He removes our need to earn any sort of wholeness or completeness. And he gives us a new weight to put on ourselves. The weight of the gospel. Because it is in Jesus that this gospel message of peace and joy is what we gladly carry. It is a light and easy burden, knowing that in Christ we find shalom, peace, and rest. This whole meaning, this whole picture that shalom paints, as I remind you with the word in Hebrew, is that this completeness, this soundness, this welfare, this peace and rest, it's all found in Jesus. As he suffers and dies and goes to the cross, taking our place, but he also rises and showers the world with life. And it is through all of these things that there is complete and perfect shalom. And it's all in him. And as Paul reminds us so well in Ephesians chapter 2, it's all by God's grace that we receive this, that he reached out to us, pulled us from the grave, and gives us life. But let me remind you that this completeness, this rest, all comes from others bringing it to you. And this is how God likes to distribute his gospel message. He doesn't open up the heavens and shine down a holy pamphlet that tells you about the love of God. He works through his people, blessing them with his Holy Spirit to proclaim to you this joy, this peace, this rest. And today, we especially want to celebrate those women in our lives who have done this for us, especially those women in mission in our church and the LWML. So let's reflect on what that looks like. As we turn in Scripture to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see Paul continuing to encourage a young man named Timothy in his faith, reminding Timothy where God provided him that faith, that it was through two women, Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mother, who sought this young man to live. They sought to give him this message of peace, grace, and rest. And this is the model that you're probably all most familiar with. The number one place where we learn about our faith is among our family, is in our homes. These are the people who raised us, and whether it was that traditional mother and father unit or whether it was something else, these were the people who fought with us to get our tired behinds out of bed, to get those stubborn teenagers off to church. I know there were many times where God was smiling upon my mother and giving her sainthood for how stubborn and awful I was as a teenager. But this is what your family does for you. They fight for you. They work for you. They labor for you. All so that you can learn about this God who loves you. These are the people who have ignored their own needs to focus on your needs. These are the people who sought out those little moments throughout the day to remind you about the love of God and the love of Christ. For many of us, it was in our families that we learned about the great rest that God provides through Jesus Christ. Looking at another figure in Scripture, we see Lydia. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul meets Lydia by the riverbank, And after she and Paul talk, the Lord opens her heart, and she and her household are baptized. All of this family are sealed into the love of God forever. Because just like with Lois and Eunice, it is in the family that the faith is passed on, among the house and the household. But let me tell you of another woman who's not in Scripture. She's not in the Bible, but she is in my family. And those of you who are not familiar with my family, obviously I'm the one with the beard. The one next to me is my wife Rachel in the white dress. The one in the white sweater is my mom Jerry. The big guy in back is my brother Austin. The big guy in front is my brother-in-law Jake. And then the woman with the arrow by her head is Christy. And Christy, ages ago, was hiking in the mountains of Washington and happened to run into my brother Austin. And they hit it off. They fell for each other. They fell in love. They got married. And they moved to Minnesota because that's where Christy's from. They live now up in Princeton. When I was gone 2 weeks ago, these are the people I was hanging out with. But Christy grew up Catholic. But my brother Austin grew up Baha'i. You see, it's kind of a complicated family story, which we can save for another day. But Austin growing up Baha'i means that he believed that all religions are equally valid and equally fine ways of getting to God, which we know is not the truth. Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God. Christy doesn't think that way. And so as they began to raise a family and spend their lives together, Christy knew that this was not how her kids were going to be raised. And she started bringing them to church. I'm getting choked up here because Christy is the answer to many, many years of prayers of not just me, but my entire family. See, we wanted Austin to know God and to know the forgiveness that he brings. And it was Christy's push that got this entire family to church. And now my brother Austin believes. He was once lost and is now, excuse me, as you can see, this is a big deal for me. But my brother Austin was once lost and is now found, as that wonderful hymn sings. To hear him confess his faith is something that, as you can see, still brings me to tears. Because my brother knows the Lord now. It's all because of this wonderful woman. You know, for many of us, when we think about missions, we just think international missions, which is right. We do need to be concerned with those people out there who do not know God, with those people out in China and India, over in Africa, in all of those many nations around our world who simply do not know who God is. But that's not the only place where mission happens. The number one place where mission happens is in our homes. It's among our families. For many of us, it was our moms who brought us to faith. It's very easy for us to neglect the role of women, especially in our church when we don't ordain women. It's very easy for us to forget them because we hear even in Scripture how many more men are called to be leaders by God. It's easy to forget them because we see throughout history that many nations were led by men and women were diminished in their role. But yet in our church, we see that it is through many women that people have come to faith. Those moms, those sisters, those wives, those wonderful gifts of God have brought the faith to their families to raise them up, to lift them up. That is the role of our women in mission. That is the role of the LWML, is to equip these women to do these sorts of things, to spread the faith in their own homes. And so then finally, I encourage you to support one another in this good work that God has given you to do. Especially this week, pray for our women in mission. Pray for all of those mothers, grandmothers, sisters, wives, trying to bring their families to faith. Pray for the LWML, who works to encourage women and grow women in their faiths. Because through all of this, many are brought to that rest that God gives, that shalom, that peace that Christ has won for the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.